CO2.
Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? I'm out here with the CO2 Rawcast. I'm going to need all y'all to subscribe right now. Let's get it 100.
You are experiencing the CO2 Carbon Ops Rawcast with your hosts, Diggy Jones and Resell Black. Let's begin. Experiencing the CO2 Carbon Ops Broadcast. Let's begin.
Yes, sir. That's right. And you ain't said it no better, my lady. Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon, all my peoples. Yo, you are rocking with the greatest. This is the CO2 Carbon Ops Broadcast with your boy, Diggy Jones.
Yo, dude. The merciless T'Challa. Black Panther, not the merciless Reese L. Black.
Wakanda forever. Yeah, real talk. Oh, hey, segue. Did you see that legacy video Marvel did with the future movies coming?
Yeah, I did because because they had the new, because I was actually looking for that new, what's the new Marvel movie coming out?
Shang-Chi or whatever.
There was another one with Angelina Jolie in it.
Eternals.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I was actually looking for that, and then that happened.
Yeah, Wakanda forever. Yeah, I was wondering how they were going to spin that, because
I'm looking for it.
You can't stop it. There's got to be a new Black Panther. But I would think even Chadwick Boseman would want it to keep going to, like, you know, have somebody take over the mantle, right? So
yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting to see who it is, but it's like, yeah, I mean, don't stop with the replacing Chadwick.
Yeah, dude, you can't do that.
It's a role,
right?
You
right.
know, it's like, just go ahead and just pick somebody to play T'Challa.
Because as great as yeah, Chadwick Boseman,
we know you don't.
Yeah, he's amazing, and he was a great actor, and, you know, I wish he wasn't gone.
Yeah.
But I think even he would admit, you know, the role is bigger than him, with all respect.
Right. Yeah.
It's a big role, and it has to keep going. It has more symbolism than even probably Batman or Superman at this point.
Yeah.
You know, so it's got to keep going.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So I ain't got no problem, but it's all good.
It's all good. Anyway, that was a segue. We weren't even meant to talk about that. What we do want to talk about is the CDC, man. And I want to read this so that I get it correct. So CDC this week, they said on Twitter, once you are fully vaccinated against COVID-19, you can resume activities that you did prior to the pandemic. Mm. Find a COVID-19 vaccine near you, and then they give you like where you can go to do that, which is interesting. So I wanted to talk about that because a lot of people have taken this a bunch of different ways. First of all, there are still states that do require you to wear a mask. Most places are still going to tell you to wear your mask.
Like ours.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like, you know, it's not like the government is saying, hey, everybody, we good. Y'all can go out and do what you want. The CDC is saying you guys should be able to do that at this point. My question is it legit? Are we good? We free? We ready to take off these masks and go swimming again and go to the mall and like hug on some folks that we ain't hugged on before? Like, is it back to normal or should we be a little skeptical? What do you think?
I'm a little bit confused about this.
Okay.
Because when you hit me with the news, I was like, okay. Now, like you said, every state is different.
Yeah.
You still have people who was running around without masks anyway. They just didn't amplify that shit. You know, all you Karens and Derricks or whatever they want to call you guys now. Yeah, y'all been running in Sprouts and Whole Foods and Targets with this protest during quarantine.
Mm.
You know, and now you're talking about it's safe. So this is where I was really, really confused. So it's like, okay. Y'all ain't got no mask, but were they positive? Did they ever catch anything? And then we had the whole Capitol raid of Trump supporters.
Right.
Some of them didn't look like they had on masks themselves.
Nope.
You know, so there's still been a bunch of people running around maskless anyway.
Yeah.
And CDC, y'all was the first ones to mess up and talk about that. Y'all was, you know, I won't say y'all was lying, but y'all made a mistake with the numbers saying us Black folks had the COVID at the most individuals. And we ain't go nowhere.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So now you guys are saying if you're fully vaccinated, you ain't got to wear a mask. So how are they supposed to know which people are fully vaccinated? I mean, we got our doses.
Right.
So how do you know what? So what little mark of the beast are we supposed to show that we are fully vaccinated and we get privilege?
It's good that you brought that up. That's a good point, because so what they're doing now, and I'm not sure where they're going to go with this, but when you get your, so like, I got Pfizer shot, right? So my second shot, they give you this card, mm-hmm. and the card tells you, you know, that you've been vaccinated twice and all that kind of stuff.
You've been privileged.
Yeah, exactly. Right. They give you the I'm okay to chill out card. You know what I'm saying? So I think if this is where we're going with this, I mean, and again, the government's got to step in and decide. But I'm thinking if we're going to open up, they're probably going to ask you to show this card. Like, it's probably going to be an ID card, like you would show your driver's license. You're probably going to end up having to do that at this point, because I can't see another way that they. Right. You're right. Like, how would you know?
So you got to go to DMV and you're going to get a new driver's license, and they're going to have the little.
Yeah,
COVID sticker.
I guess.
Okay,
but then again, you see now we're treading on some stuff. You know, in history, we've done these things where people are branded with access cards, like no access if you don't have this, no access if you don't do this. What it doesn't account for is the people who are questioning, you know, the vaccine altogether. Right? There are a lot of people out there who still don't believe that this vaccine is effective. There's a lot of people out there who believe this vaccine is actually dangerous, hasn't been tested, or, you know, for the extremists, the ones that really are paranoid. I got a family member that's thinking like this. That the government is trying to kill us. You know what I'm saying?
Like, they succeeded. Okay, let me stop.
There's a lot of people thinking like that, but regardless of how you view the vaccine, doing this, if this is the way route that we're going, where we're saying, okay, everybody's free to open up, but you have to be vaccinated in order to get into this spot. Otherwise, you can't come in. Mm-hmm. Are our liberties, are our freedoms being, you know, pushed upon in a way with this? Because again, we're not talking about something that, like, we all know to be 100%. This is what it is, and everybody needs to do it. We're talking about something where, like, we still have doubts. Remember, what was it, like a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago with Moderna, they were telling people, you know, it's two shots, just like Pfizer. Now they're telling people two shots, but actually, by the way, you need to have a booster shot. So three shots. That tells me, I don't think people have ironed out this process yet. So should we be telling people, you know, you're all good only if you got a shot?
You know, I'm going to go. Shout out to Taylor Lane, Sugar and Spike podcast. I got to quote what she said on our episode, because believe it or not, you know, she's also low key one of the reasons why I decided to get, you know, my vac, know, because she made a point, you know, here and there. Shout out to you, Taylor. You know, she kind of punked motherfuckers to get this shit. She's like, this is the 19th strain. You guys, because, you know, because a lot of, there's going to be a lot of skeptics. Right. But the thing is this, it's the first strain to us.
Right.
We ain't had, the thing is, we never really had anything out here except AIDS.
Right.
And HIV or anything sexually transmitted. So this whole airborne thing or whatever, we're like, we're not okay. It may be the 19th strain out there, you know, in China, but when they came here, this was COVID-1 for us. So we really didn't know what the hell was going on. Now that they're coming out with these, you know, this vaccine mighty quick, it was like, damn, y'all couldn't even, you know, y'all patched up cancer.
Right.
Y'all got a cure for this or something that's sustainable, but you guys couldn't come up with something, you know, cancer, you know, diabetes, solve anything else. But when this hit, all of a sudden we got this vaccine. It's quick. And it's like, yeah, of course, everybody's going to go back to Tuskegee with the syphilis thing and try to, you know, pander to the black folks to get this first.
Yeah.
Because that's what was happening.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, all the white folks came out of nowhere, or the non-black people was like, nah, move out of the way, black folks. We going to get it. And we just said, good.
Yeah.
Because we want to see what's gonna happen, right. You know. But to answer the question though, all right, we're all fully vac now. Is it safe, because it's like, yeah, well, some of you guys still be wearing masks, and that's where my bitchiness comes in. I might still end up still wearing my mask because I just don't know.
Right.
You know, my 41 years being on this planet, the only thing I dealt with was like, you know, like HIV. I didn't catch it. HIV, AIDS, and, you know, SARS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, mad cow disease, H1N1, pig flu. Like, this was the stuff that, you know, this is the stuff that we dealt with. And there was no magnitude of deaths that was exposed on a global level. I mean, people died of the flu back in the day, the swine flu.
Yeah.
But they didn't create this crazy vaccine, and it wasn't amplified as much as COVID was.
The media has really pushed COVID to like
it's a Marvel movie.
Yeah,
and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you would think if somebody didn't like know, like if you came from the past to now and saw like how it was being promoted, you would think this was like almost like a death sentence, basically an apocalyptic level
plague,
right?
Shit.
Yeah, and in the grand scheme of things, we've seen the stats. It is bad, but compared to a lot of other diseases that we've come across, it is not as bad as they try to paint it out to be. You know, a lot of people have lost lives, so I don't want to take away from that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, in a grand scheme of things, I'm not sure if it's to the level that the media tries to paint it. But we like to do a lot of different perspectives here. You know what? My thing with this, when it comes to like going back to what we call real life or whatever, maybe it's kind of beyond the vaccine at this point, right? It's kind of beyond even COVID at this point, because now we're talking about habits of safety. So like you said, you're not sure.
Yeah.
You know, you've made an educated decision based off of what you know. But even if you take the vaccine and you've gotten your two shots, you could still be doubtful about its effectiveness. You could still be doubtful about like whether you can get it again, whether the vaccines wear off. We don't know, because we don't have all of the information. And I think the people who are in power don't have all the information. But if you look at like other nations, you know, even before the vaccine or even before COVID, you know, Japan, people who are sick in Japan wear masks anyway. Like, see them on the subway.
That's like their culture. Yeah.
That's what they do.
They're just safe.
And that's like their habit.
And so they're overpopulated. Look at
right.
Yeah. Yeah, they live out there.
So I wonder, even if we go back, will we ever be the same? Because I'm with you. Like, I might be out there, but I've gotten so used to my mask at this point, man. Like, I just sometimes I forget the shit is even on. Yeah. I just walk around.
It's fashionable at this point.
Yeah, it's like, and now I know. So in my mind, I'm almost like, well, damn, like when I go out in a big crowd, I might just wear it anyway, just because I don't want, you know, nothing can happen at that point. Well, you know, stuff can happen, but, you know, I feel more protected.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, you know, I don't mean to play around with this. This is not funny, but it's funny.
Yeah.
If you ended up getting a shot to make you immune to herpes, would you still run around and have unprotected sex? or would you still wear a band?
Right, right.
That's what it's like to me at this moment. It's like, okay, yeah, it's like I got vaccinated, but it's like there's some people out there who choose to keep their mask on and not get the shot. I get it. More power to you. And I know I was actually down with y'all. I just, you know, made a conscious decision, you know, that was motivated by other things. It's like, you know, I work in a healthcare environment, but you know, even though I don't have contact with folks, I commute,
right,
you know, on Bay Area rapid transit,
right,
and I don't know what's going on in there. I still have my mask, and they still, you know, practice their safety protocol there. You can't sit next to anybody,
right,
you know, but I just don't want that Dave Chappelle shit to happen.
Right,
they did everything by the book at that event, right? And what happened? He ended up testing positive. And that's another thing, too. There were no false positives when you caught the flu or when you caught strep throat back in the day. You either had or you didn't.
Right.
But this is probably the one case where you can test for something and come out positive and then go test it again somewhere else and you come out negative. So that's why it's up in the air to me. And we're talking about, like, you could be asymptomatic.
Right.
So that's another thing that's throwing me off. So I'm just going to go like this. Okay, look, I'll go ahead and I'll get dosed up.
Right.
There's a life insurance policy on me. So if I go, my family is taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I don't want the worst to happen. And yeah, government conspiracy theories and all this other stuff. It got too much for me to the point where I just said, screw it.
Right.
My grandma misses her her great grandbabies and me. They want us to come around, and they had their shots.
Yeah.
They all had the Modernas. Both my grandparents, they had the Moderna. They asked me, are you gonna get yours, baby? Which means I miss you, I miss hugging you, right. I miss kissing you, and your babies, bring them all over.
Right.
And you know, they have the shortest lifespan, so screw it. Okay, let me go ahead, do what it do. That's why I went ahead and, you know, check out Reclusive, where I actually documented myself of going into the hospital to go get my, you know, my shot and everything. And honestly, to tell you the truth, it was an ease off my shoulders. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, and yeah. Now I'm privileged.
Yeah.
Now I'm privileged, you know. But, you know, my thing is this: now mentally, do I want to leave now? It's my issue.
We've been on
lockdown so long, I don't even want to see nobody. Right. I like staying secluded, but that's a personal thing for me. I got to get out of that. It's like I've been locked down for so long. It's like, I don't want to see nobody. I don't want to go nowhere. I just want to come here, do this, and then go home.
Right.
Go to work, do this. Go home. I really don't want to go to a gathering and stuff like that anymore, you know, but, yeah. You know, but that's, like I said, that's just me.
I think things will never be the same. And this is a really big topic. I think maybe we could even revisit this on Reclusive at some point, because there's a lot of like different, you know, aspects to this that, you know, we'll probably never really have 100% answer. But you had a good point with the whole, you know, bagging up sort of scenario, because think about it, if the heebie-jeebies was real and you could die on sight from it, but they gave you a pill that was 99% effective, is 99% enough, right? Because there's that 1% where you could die on sight. Would you still be like, okay, 99% I'll take it, but I'm also going to, you know, do some other stuff to make sure that I have a backup.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's what's needed. I mean, you can still do you. I mean, even though they said things will be back to normal or whatever the case may be, the people are still going to take their own personal safety protocol.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to, like, just jump in and go to Summer Jam just yet, you know, or go to Spring Break or jump at, you know, I know that I'm old. I was about to say Freaknik. They ain't got Freaknik anymore. But you're just not going to jump and go to a gathering with a bunch of folks. Like, we're not going to Coachella yet.
Right.
And I'll be so mad if y'all throw a Coachella now that y'all got this news out. They'll be like, really? Last time? Oh, Matt. Coincidence, they had a herpes breakout at one of them festivals. Remember?
I bet they did.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, like an overwhelming amount of people checked in a hospital of, like, you know, venereal diseases and, you know, STDs.
Well, that was like Petri dish 2000 and whatever year. Every year it was always that.
Yeah, it was wild. Yeah. But now what if this happened? Because down in Florida, they was wild with it. They thought this shit was a hoax and they did whatever until people started developing symptoms or whatever, you know, and then now,
they got real.
And so that really, well, that was last year. And now they're saying, okay, you're cool. So, but they're saying only if you're fully vaccinated.
Right.
Ain't nobody in Florida getting the vaccine. They didn't even believe in this shit.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay, are you guys going to let us know, like you said, okay, which state are, you know, going to allow this? Because Texas, they dropped the mask mandate.
Right.
And I'm sure some other states did too. They didn't mention anything about being fully vaccinated. They just said, okay, you can lose the mask now. And I'm like, whoa. And then this drops.
Right, yeah.
Well, this is backwards. Wait a minute.
Right.
The CDC ain't said shit about you losing the mask until now.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess everybody's cool in Texas. You know, more power, shout out to y'all. But that don't mean I'm going to be running around Houston, you know, mask-free just yet. That's just me. I just got off a freaking plane.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to do that yet.
Nah, I don't think a lot of people are. So shout out to the CDC for giving us that information. But I don't know. Maybe y'all might want to hold off a little bit before you go, you know, dropping the mask.
We scared still.
Look at that. Yeah.
We're
a little paranoid.
We ain't ready. All those black folks. See, you non-black folks, y'all been running around protesting, doing whatever for the past year and a half. We just been like this, watching y'all.
Yeah. But I mean, white people wear masks all the time. I'm like, what am I talking about? Let me leave that. That's too real. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. That's too real. Anyway, all right. I'm going to drop
this
that.
This is the Raw.
This is the Raw cast.
Loosen up.
Right. I'm just kidding. We love y'all white people. I'm just kidding.
Y'all was talking about us for years.
Yeah. All right, man. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we have got a special guest in the building. I'm going to let y'all, you know, rock with us when we come back and find out who it is. But this is the CO2 Carbon Ops Rawcast. We will see you in a minute. are back. Thank you, people, for hanging in with us once again. This is the CO2 Carbon Ops Broadcast. And today, when I say and today, what does that mean? That means we got a supersized guest in the building. And let's try to do a quick little introduction, man. How'd you come across this brother?
Let's see. Well, of course we gotta give it up to the big homie O'Shea Dude Jackson.
Hey.
Because he always gotta support us smaller platforms. And this brother Thanks. Right here, you know, he had an explosive videos, explosive reviews, explosive workout tips as well, you know? Yeah. So, you know, it was only right to go ahead and get the homie up on the show. We already did it previously, what I'm saying? But, you know, we had to bring the man back another time to go ahead and put on that work with us, get on that dialogue with us.
Yeah,
so, guess what? We got him here today. I like to call him the simp assassin. This is the man that basically said it was time to end all that simp shit. Fact. He said, I am causing the simp apocalypse, my man, Mr. Action Over Talk, Sonny Bravo is back. What up, killer?
Sonny Bravo, Action Over Talk. Welcome back to the Rawcast.
Hey, oh man, what's good, my guys? Man, it's good to be back on the channel, man. Man, I'm glad to be here, man.
Man,
appreciate you guys being on the show, man.
It's Sonny 2.0, man. You looking clean over there, brother. Clean. I like the way the set and everything. Got the lion and stuff.
We working on the technical side, man. We trying to get it together over here, you know?
Right on, bro. Well, man, we appreciate having you on the show, man. We going to get right into it, man. Let's get your opinion on what happened this week. Let's just start with the I know you don't care, but look section, because I don't. What do we got?
Well, I know you don't care about look,
but
Diggy actually has been caring about
that's what the tea is for, bro. You supposed to.
I know he didn't care about some shit previously, but we actually got him caring about a couple things. But now this is actually hot, especially in our space as content creators, aka concretes, I like to call us.
Yeah.
Joe Budden podcast apparently fired his co-host, and I wanted to go ahead and revisit that shit. Now, apparently, from what I know, these are like his day ones, you know.
Maul, for sure. Maul is his day one.
And fired him, you know, was it on air?
He fired Rory on air. Yeah, he didn't fire Maul. He told Maul, we get your stuff together. We brothers and all that stuff. And then if you want to revisit it, you can come back. But you don't got the keys.
Yeah.
Like he said, I'm the one with the keys on this. Ooh. But Rory, he fired his ass on air.
Ooh. So.
And I wonder what could have been brewing behind the scenes for something like that to happen. That's crazy.
Interesting. I guess money may have played a part, because I guess either was it Rory or my one of them was talking about basically, you know, the money's there.
Yeah.
And it's a possibility that some may not be getting kicked down, you know, enough or whatever. Now, the thing is this, I understand, like, you know, we all, you know, you're the lone wolf. But him and I have a 50-50 investment in what we do right here. And it's funny because we actually talk about the shit too. But I'm actually probably like the one individual that we'd admit, and I told you about this before. I was like, if he ended up getting more, I understand. I totally underget it. Because guess what? He handles all the technical stuff. This show is because of him. The editing, you know, the background music. Well, I select the background music.
Do y'all discuss y'all grievances or disagreements on air though?
Not on air.
And that's the thing, is like, I think though they messed up, because one, they didn't air it out to begin with, right? Yeah. Like they didn't discuss money like that to begin with. They homies.
They didn't discuss millions.
Exactly.
Number one. That's crazy. What are you talking about?
Right. So it wasn't until they broke bread when that Spotify deal came around, and then they started asking, you know, what's up with the money. That's when it switched things up, which
it got real.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. No one really knows exactly what the amount was, you know. So the question. So this is what we're here to talk about, you know, friendship over business, you know. I don't know how many times in the black community we have ever talked about, like, never do business with family. But aren't friends, aren't your day ones, isn't that considered family?
It can be like family. You know, the majority of my day one friends that I've had for 10 plus years, you know, some of them you call cuzzo. They're like family. Yeah. They've been around your whole family. It's like that.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I feel like, okay, so if you know you're going to start business, and I think a lot of people do this. You start businesses with your homies. You start business with your fam. You know, because y'all grew up together, y'all got same, you know, ideology sometimes, and you just want to do something with people that you cool with. Mm-hmm. But my question to you is, so, okay, when you're going to do that, where is the point where we need to start thinking, okay, yeah, we're doing that as friends, but this is a business too. We got to, you know, air out the details.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been in business with my best friend at one point. Right. And I really like to do things my way. That's why I like to run my own business. So we always got along. We never really had issues or anything like that. Mm. But there were certain, we were running the food business. Mm. And there's certain situations where like things get busy or one of us might get flustered. And I'd be like, yo, blah, blah, blah. And I might say something that comes off like bossy. And he'd be like, all right, boss. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I feel like, yeah, right. like I'm doing too much. You know what I mean? So it's like, right. it can strain your relationship to a certain degree. And then there's, and with certain things in business, especially if things start picking up fast or you got different things you want to do, you don't want to have to like run things across somebody sometimes to just make it happen. I like to run things on my own in a certain way. And, I just like having total control when it comes to business situations.
You know what? Now let's go in different. Let's go in when the bag grows. All right. So you have this multi-million-dollar business now. You guys gotten successful. Now contracts have changed. Now this is another thing too. They kept on talking about there is no contract, there is no Spotify or something like that, right? Yeah. But I'm sure there was still money left over on the table or whatever, right?
Absolutely.
Now the thing is this. I think that's also what probably played a big part in it. So you mean to tell me they did not know that there was no contract anymore? So they just been doing this podcast thinking that they was popping with Spotify, I guess. And one of them asked, like, what do you mean there's no contract? And Joe was like, yeah, there's no contract or whatever. So now when that bag is bigger, so there was a bag there.
Right.
I didn't get no raise.
Right.
So I'm a little bit confused.
Right. Well, technically, though, from what I understand, they did get a raise.
Okay.
The Spotify deal, Joe was not feeling it because he felt like Spotify was making, they were number one on Spotify at the time.
Okay.
And Spotify was making a ton of money off of them, and they were getting not what he felt was, you know, appropriate.
He didn't get that Joe Rogan bag.
Right. Yeah, exactly. He's looking at Joe. Joe is making a killing, and then their podcast is number one, and they not making a killing like that. So he bailed on the bag, but I don't think he
discussed it.
Exactly. He didn't discuss it with the homies. And so the homies are like, well, wait a minute. Like, what's the number? And he didn't want to reveal the number because he's thinking, this is my podcast. You know what I mean? But
but that's on him. You know what I mean? Right. Like, they're still a part of the show. If y'all are equal partners, if you misnegotiated, that's on you. They right. still deserve a part of that bag if that's y'all agreement.
Right. Okay. And that's the problem with being partners with homies, because if like with us, we're transparent. We talk about stuff all the time. It ain't even nothing. We already know what it's going to be. It don't matter. It's 50-50. We good. But we don't have no problem with being honest about stuff. But sometimes when you're with your homies, you will kind of like not be blunt about the business side of stuff because that's your homie when you should have done it. And then when it gets tough, now you want to have those conversations, but it's too late. Y'all already in it. You know what I mean? And that's what I think that's where they messed up. They talked about this stuff when the bag is here. You can't wait for that. You got to talk about that before it comes, because when it comes, you already in trouble.
We look at these guys as examples just because they're famous. But in a situation like that, we all have common sense to know that you got to be much more assertive with things like that. As soon as you're aware of that potential bag, y'all guys are having conversations.
Fact.
You know, what's the deal? What are we going to do?
And I was making a point is, I want to ask this. Did Joe Budden start the podcast first by himself and then included his homies? Or did all three of them come in all at the same time, and they just happened to call it the Joe Budden Podcast because he's the bigger name.
No, in the beginning, it wasn't even called the Joe Budden Podcast. He started with this girl. I forget what her name is.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, he started with a girl. Rosenberg, I guess, was the one that like helped him get podcast started. And then that's why I think he's got that kind of beef with Hot 95 or whatever.
Hot 97.
Yeah, that's why he's got beef with them. Mm-hmm. It's because it was something with them in the beginning, and then he ended up breaking away. And then that's when Maul came on. So
yeah, way different.
Yeah, I see both sides a little bit. I think the way that Joe handled it was kind of foul. But to be honest, the other side of it is those guys probably should have been talking that deal before it even got to that point, because clearly they weren't on an agreement as to where people stood in the process.
Let's bring the ego in. I'm okay, bro. We're not gonna be talking shit about each other on air.
No.
You know, that I think that's the cold blood part. You ain't gonna fire your day ones in business, regardless if they're not from the sandbox, but if they came into the business with you and y'all been recording for like, I don't know, 5 years plus, I'm still gonna have enough respect for you where I'm not gonna just can you on air.
Right.
But that's just me. You know, I don't know what the relationship is like with them two, you know, but that's just something I wouldn't do. That's kind of unprofessional, and that's a bad look for you to the whole entire industry. That's just my opinion, though.
Well, we might want to entertain the idea that Joe Budden did this strategically on air to cause controversy that we're talking about right now.
Publicity sales, yeah.
That may be the case.
That's true.
You know, you never know with entertainers.
Right. And Joe, if there's ever going to be somebody who would do something like that, it would be Joe Budden. Right? It's the king of drama. Right? So, yeah, you're right. It could definitely be something like that. I mean, if it is, it's been working, because I've been seeing a bunch of people reacting to, you know, the clip on YouTube. You got celebrities, of course. Of course, Charlamagne and them had to get their input on it and stuff like that. Like, it's a lot of people talking about it, so it might be genius.
And he was on No Jumper, you know, so that was publicity there. You know, I only saw the clip, and then Academics, you know, he gonna ride it just because, you know, he's DJ Academics. And didn't they have something too? Everyday Struggle or something? See, I don't know that story, because I found out about Academics like, I think like 3 years ago.
Well, long story short, they don't like each other. Rory and Academics. Academics is always bashing on Rory. So that was part of the beef too, was that Rory felt like when they was having that beef, Joe didn't stand up for him because they kind of homies a little bit. And so I think that might have sparked part of it. But, you know, you never know with the story on this stuff.
Well, I was a little surprised DJ Academics was going to bat for Joe Budden, because I don't follow them that closely, but last I knew, they weren't really eye to eye.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Joe don't really get along with too many people.
Nobody.
Yeah, exactly.
He's get along with Noriega.
So I feel like if something goes awry, it's his fault. Just like the situation was a Hot 97.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't y'all have that discussed in the beginning for that situation? So it's like he has a habit of not getting the business discussed prior to doing business.
Yeah, he's notorious for that. I mean, we saw what happened with the whole Slaughterhouse thing. I mean, if you could have a beef with Eminem, you know, after making that much money, like, it's you, bro. Like, I gotta be honest, I love Joe Budden as far as like listening to him talk. He's funny, but I would never go into business with that dude, man. He's a train wreck, you know?
Bro, you were the least nice artist in Slaughterhouse. Don't you ever go with Eminem.
Right.
Crooked Eye, maybe. Joel Artis, maybe. Not you.
No, you're not you ever. Not even close.
Don't do it. Yeah. Do it side.
I do want to address something though before we it's like, you know, for folks with bigger platforms, people like Joe Budden and things of that nature, and everybody else, you know, as far as content creators,
yeah,
is there a responsibility, you know, to actually, like, you know, do business and collaborate with people, you know, who have big numbers? You know, like, for instance, you already know there's like a bunch of, you know, creators in YouTube and a podcast space that have huge numbers, and you got these smaller guys, you know, like us, who would like to collab, you know, to possibly not only like interview you, but also get some of those numbers and those subs up. So those bigger platform dudes, you know, do they have a responsibility to like shout us out, or even like consider like, okay, you know what, let's collab because I see the potential in your product?
I think I wouldn't say the word responsibility, but I would say Me personally, if I had a platform that was Joe Budden size or whatever, even if I had like 100K, I'm just naturally gonna do that. I feel like that's just part of being in our community and appreciating where you came from and the grind that guys are putting in. And if you appreciate people's work, if they reach out to you, you like them, they're cool, why not?
Facts. Because, you know, in our space, podcast space, you know, cats don't answer back emails. Yeah, I'm talking shit. And cats, you know, were pretty much just like, let me see what their numbers is like. Ooh, their numbers is low. It's like, well, did you see the very first video? November 9th, 2020? Right, it's right. Like, niggas just got here.
Right,
you know, like yourself. Like, you just crossed over 1,000. And congratulations. And shout out to Sonny Bravo. You know, he hit that 16. Right. You know? And, like, he here with us. We still under the rack.
Yeah.
You know, but we still trying to, like, you know, crawl ourselves up. But he's still humble enough to still, like, work with us and everything just because we have a potential community.
Well, you know what's crazy, man? You never know who's gonna blow up, first and foremost.
Yeah.
And really, I'm just a real person, you feel me? And I appreciate y'all. I think I reached out to y'all first, actually, because I appreciate y'all production quality and the effort you put in the show, and it's a dope show. Appreciate so it. My thing is, I don't care as much about the numbers, because honestly, I thought y'all channel was gonna pass me up in subscribers, right, just because of the quality and the content y'all put out and the people you have on the show and a combination of things. So for y'all channel, I feel like it's only a matter of time. You know what I mean? But I mean, if someone reaches out to me, or if I reach out to them, or let's say if someone reaches out to me, I'm going to look at their content. You know what I mean? I'm going to look at who this person is, and I don't really care about all the extra stuff like that. You know what I mean? We got to, like, work with each other.
Yeah. Facts. Man, appreciate that, brother, man. Well, hey, man, this was great. We're going to take a quick little segue, quick little break. When we come back, we'll be talking about something that I can't even talk about this title without laughing, but it's dope. Hold up. I know you want to hear what the topic is. We're going to split this up into two smaller parts in preparation for the season finale. So come back here next week and you'll get this crazy topic that we talked about. And trust me, you'll enjoy it. 84. This episode of the CO2 Broadcast was produced by Diggy Jones and Resell Black, with music from various artists like Boger, Benji Yang, 84, and a host of talented musicians whose information will be in the description box. If you want to have your music featured on our podcast, hit us up at CO2 Broadcast on IG. See y'all next time.